Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Thursday, gang, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, your host, Andy Goldstein. And we start with the evening's Premier League action after Leicester beat Fulham, Everton won at Leeds, West Ham beat Aston Villa, Man City went back to the top of the league, and Liverpool somehow lost against Brighton.
After Burnley ended Liverpool's 68-game unbeaten run at Anfield, Brighton's victory was the first time Liverpool had lost successive league games at home since September 2012.
That was pathetic from Liverpool tonight. Let's call it as it is. That was pathetic. That's the defending champions you've just watched there. A whimper. Disgraceful. Shocking.
It was a tough one to take. So, explanation. They sound very often like excuses, but it's was for us now. A really tough week, two away games, two very intense games, and tonight it looked really like we were not fresh enough, mentally and physically, and yeah, again, that's the outcome you saw.
History might be repeating itself, because you look back at what Klopp done at Dortmund when he finished second, how their season imploded. He demands so much, and his demands have been brilliant. But are we looking at a Liverpool side now that have just run out of gas?
Klopp, I don't like slating him, obviously, like what he's done for the club, but the only thing I get fed up with, like, can you not change a formation or a tactic? When he's playing against a team with a low block, it's just the same thing. So it's just sideways.
I'm sorry, but Thiago has slowed the game down so badly. It's not Bayern Munich, mate. It's English football.
If that was my Chelsea again, I've seen Chelsea defend a Premier League title like that when we finished mid-table. That's just as bad as what Liverpool are doing now. No chance of them winning the title now.
Seagulls were really well organised defensively, smart on the counter-attack as well.
Amazing performance. When you come here, you have to be close to perfect, and I thought we were tonight. Spirit of the team, courage of the team, the players were amazing. I can't say anything else. I thought it was a good football game. We didn't just sit in, we tried to take part in it, and against a team with such quality, it's not easy. We're at stretches sometimes, but I thought we coped with it well, restricted them to not too many chances. So, yeah, overall, it's a fantastic evening for us.
Burnley 0, Manchester City 2. The statistics continue to make impressive reading for City. Now 3 points clear again at the top of the Premier League.
You know, when you want to fight for all the titles, we are in one final already, and the others being there, when these 9 games in a row winning in the Premier League, is we need everyone. So, except few players that maybe don't play much, the other one play a lot, So, in this country, in this year, so we cannot survive with just 11, 12 players.
People sometimes forget in the reality of football, when you spend £700 or £800 million, you're probably going to get some very good players, and they often do. They've got a great manager, they've got a great side, they've won championships, they've won time, they've got players who have played all over Europe. So we're always working on the possibilities, we're always working on the mentality of a side to win a game. Went against us tonight, but a lot of the performances were pretty good by our standards against the top side.
Fulham 0, Leicester 2, that's about as close as Fulham got to Leicester tonight on the banks of the Thames. This was all over inside the first half.
I'm not overly disappointed in the performance. I'm disappointed in certain elements. Am I surprised in the certain elements what we've fallen short on? No. We're a team that have come out of the Championship playing against a team that are third in the Premier League with an array of talent what they've got. And in games like this, you're going to fall a little bit short when you're us.
It's all down to James Maddison. Maddison at the heart of it again.
He's a brilliant player. He knows we've always talked about his numbers and getting his numbers up, him and the front players. And that's the job. But I think what he also has added to his game, he's working very hard for the team. Tactically, he's understanding where to be. Towards the end, last 50 minutes, we just had to get him to close the game. But he's a special player. Like you said, he he's efficient, and that's what you want from your attacking players.
I think that's now 13 goal and involvements in the last 11. That's what it's about. When you get to the top level, do you influence the game? These are the sort of things when you get to the elite level. If you're not producing that, you know, you're not going to be a top player.
Well, it might be game over now. It is Aston Villa 1, West Ham 3, and Jesse Lingard, on debut, has now scored two of the goals.
My biggest concern was not really his all-round fitness, it was his match fitness and his match sharpness. So that was what I wasn't quite sure about, but I knew that he'd have been working hard at Manchester United, he'd been training hard. He didn't have to show that he's in good form.
Yeah, come on, you Irons!
What did you make of the performance? What did you make of Jesse tonight?
Lingard, Danio, what a player we've got. Honestly, I don't know what it would cost us in the summer, but sign him up.
Lingard hits it right-footed. Again, the keeper probably should have done better and kept it out.
I'm certainly not going to moan about my goalkeeper making mistakes when he's kept 10 clean sheets this season and has been one of our players of the season so far. He certainly earned the right to make a mistake if it was a big mistake.
Finishes Leeds United 1, Everton 2. Everton with a fourth successive away win in the Premier League. The last time they did that back in 1985 in the top flight.
Three important points, an important performance after the defeat against Newcastle. The reaction was really good, really pleased for the reaction. Three important points, we go up in the table.
Leeds are appalling from set plays. They're abysmal. It's something that Bielsa and the team have to get a grip of, because at the moment that is holding them back at times, especially against teams like Everton, like West Ham, the teams that are very, very good from set plays. It's all a bit easy for them.
Now, after Manchester United tonked, thrashed, hammered, destroyed Southampton 9-0, Dwight York told The Breakfast Show that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side are now genuine title contenders. But the former Crystal Palace owner, Simon Jordan, still said that the babyface assassin will win nothing. He's got to say that, hasn't he? Otherwise, he'll look stupid. Well, let's hear first from the former treble winner, Yorkie.
A lot of people didn't give United any chance at the beginning. They played the way in, they've gone through a very difficult time. And you've seen them elevate themselves in terms of consistency, winning against the lesser teams, which is something they seem to have a problem with. They always seem to do well against the big teams, and this time round they seem to have got the balance right.
Manchester United 9, 9-man Saints 0.
They should embrace the fact that they're right in the thick of things, and of course, I mean, United, when you play for United, that's always the mentality, although it's not been like that for a few years now. But if I were in that squad or manager of that team, that's the kind of thought process I would be telling the players at this point in time.
We have to try to find our form, the combination, relationships, the mojo, the spark.
You can't argue with the fact that Man United have beaten another Premier League side 9-0. But it doesn't alter the central theme. Manchester United, in my mind, and I don't care about all these trolls on Twitter that seem to pop up. I didn't hear a word from them about what an imbecile I was last week when Sheffield United beat Manchester United. Here they are now again saying, here you go, Jordan, what you got to say about that? What I've got to say about it is you're second in the league and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not going to win anything this year.
Now on Drive, Adrian Durham asks, is Ralph Hasenhüttl all that after getting beaten 9-0? We'll get the take of Gabby Agbonlahor on that performance, but first, this is Happy Aid on the Saints and that hammering for Hasenhüttl's men.
If Sam Allardyce or Steve Bruce had lost 9-0 in successive seasons, what would everybody be saying? They'd be talking about them being dinosaurs, how they should be sacked, how they shouldn't get top-flight jobs, they shouldn't get any jobs anymore. They keep getting on the roundabout of jobs and merry-go-round and getting jobs, and they shouldn't be getting them. But Ralph Hasenhüttl loses 9-0 two seasons running, and he's the hipster's favourite. And it's not really his fault, it's the recruitment's fault, or it's VAR's fault, or it's a COVID season, so it's that fault. You can't scrutinise Ralph Hasenhüttl, what, because he looks like Klopp? No, I'm sorry, you can scrutinise Ralph Hasenhüttl.
Well, Hasenhüttl probably doesn't know what's hit him tonight. A very, very strange game.
As a team, when you go down to 10 men, you get everyone behind the ball, you play like a false number 9, and you make it difficult. How many teams have said in games they found it difficult, more difficult against 10 men than 11? So, for me, there's no excuse for them Southampton players. They capitulated, really, didn't they? And after losing 9-0 to Leicester, you'd think they would have learnt their lesson and they've got to ask serious questions about themselves in that changing room.
Now, across the South Coast, Championship side Bournemouth have sacked manager Jason Tindall after just 6 months in charge. The club are now looking for a new boss, and former Cherries number one Harry Redknapp has set the ball rolling on John Terry, friend of the podcast, becoming the new manager.
I couldn't think of a better club to take over than Bournemouth. It really is a good club, well-run club, good players. It's all there, really, for somebody to come in and make a big success of it. His professionalism and his everything about him, I just think, given the opportunity, he would be a really top-class manager. If I was a chairman looking for a manager now, John Terry would be right there at the top of my list.
Put aside what he did as a player, put aside his experiences at Aston Villa, which is a different dynamic to Bournemouth, different setup, different framework, different expectations, different responsibilities, and how he'll interview as a manager and what he'll bring to bear, I think it's a risk.
They've lost their last four games in the Championship and are 8 points off the automatic promotion places. Tindall had replaced Eddie Howe in the summer after their relegation.
Experience gets you out of relegation battles and gets you promoted, not iconic individual players that once upon a time great. It is a risk, but it may well be that John has learnt so much that he'll be compelling in an interview and worthy of that chance.
Now, the Tottenham boss, Jose Mourinho, has been speaking to the media ahead of their game against Chelsea tonight. We'll hear from the Chelsea gaffer, Thomas Tuchel, shortly. But first up, this is the special once one on Gareth Bale and whether or not he can guarantee him a run of first-team matches. No, of course he can't.
I cannot do it. High-level football is very difficult to do it, especially in a competition like the Premier League, where the level is so, so high.
But this has been a bad night for Mourinho. It's been a bad night for Gareth Bale. Hold off after an hour.
In my opinion, was the team that didn't have a good performance. Was not Gareth individually, it was the team.
Spurs have a way back into this game. Dele Alli celebrates in front of those Spurs supporters.
I had a good conversation with him yesterday. We need him. We need a good Dele Alli. And we are just waiting for him to be back to normality, to be back training with the team. Of course, a conversation doesn't make miracles. A conversation doesn't put a player in great form. But I believe that the conversation was maybe the extra motivation that he needed to be back as soon as possible and to become available for the team.
Teaser pass, Peter Quetta, who fires it in! And Chelsea have their first goal under Thomas Tuchel!
I strongly believe that it's Tottenham against Chelsea and not me against Jose. Was he a role model? Honestly, when I started my career, he was so far away, like the moon from the earth. Could not be a role model at all. You don't have to leave any doubts. He's one of the best managers in the world.
William Gallas wins it for Chelsea. Mourinho's on the pitch to join in the hugs, and Spurs are out on their feet.
He created a squad in Tottenham that is, like always, very, very competitive. Is it a clash of cultures? I don't know. I think that Jose is a winner, and I want to implement the same in my teams. We are on the highest level to win games, and we will try everything to beat them in their stadium.
Hello, I'm Laura Woods, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Now, England start their test series against India tomorrow, and TalkSport 2 is the only place you can hear all the action from 3:30 a.m. Yeah, a.m. It's England captain Joe Root's 100th test match, would you believe? And TalkSport's very own Darren Goff recalled the time he used to play with the icon Sachin Tendulkar at Yorkshire and just how fanatical the Indian supporters are when it comes to a bit of leather on Willow. It's a DVD I used to have.
Sachin Tendulkar was 18 and he came and played for Yorkshire. And when he came over, he very rarely came out of his room. He was still a young kid. He'd just started driving. He got this car. He was over the moon with this car. He got Honda Civic. He got it. And I've never seen it. He was like, I mean, considering now he's probably got about 8 Ferraris. back then, he got this Honda Civic and he was like a kid in a sweet shop. He absolutely loved it. And we went for this one Indian restaurant. And remember this, he's 18, he made his test debut at 16.
And there it is, Test Match 100 for Tendulkar, one of the youngest ever to hit a Test Match 100.
He's on his way to being popular, not superstardom. And we walked into this Indian restaurant in Middlesbrough. I have never seen anything like it. They came running out of the restaurant, the kitchen, they were bowing at his feet. We go in there, we just couldn't believe what we were seeing, an 18-year-old kid, and like a god. And we sit down, and we're there, we say, can we have the menus? And Sachin goes, no menus. No menus, boys. I'll show you how it's done in India.
Cool.
And he just said, just bring. And it was like a movie you watch on TV, where they just kept bringing out these dishes. that everybody else in the restaurant must not have got served, because all they were bothered about is serving Tendulkar and having a picture with him and doing his autograph. And being around that and seeing him throughout the whole year, how many people pestered him, the Indian support he has, was fascinating. And then when you go tour there, you get it. Not to the same extreme, but they just want to be near you. They want to shake your hand. They want to just tap you on the shoulder.
But that's it. Thanks for listening on Acast, Spotify, Apple Pods, or whatever you listen to. Even if it was illegal, I don't really care. I'm off to Snookerland for a snooker shootout for a couple of days. But the sports bar will be open for business from 10 p.m. tonight on TalkSport with Jordan Jarrett-Bryant and Jerry Perry-Groves, taking all your calls after Spurs take on Chelsea. There will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily Podcasts out first thing in the morning. I don't know who's doing that. It's definitely not me. Why don't you download it and find out? Anyway, until then, thanks for listening. Have a great day. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.